AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
I saw a tweet saying, like, people don't understand this is El Clasico for Africans.
No, I... Can I...
I saw that. Okay, no, it's not no, my own opinion. So I'm regurgitating a tweet that I saw.
Can I be serious with you, though?
Because a lot of people from that region support United, and a lot of people from that region...
No.
We here.
Yes, sir. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the 6 Yard Box Podcast. This is episode 68, where Arsenal are falling where Arsenal are falling apart with Edu leaving.
You're really leading with that?
Where Blake is falling for my rage bait already.
Fair enough.
And a generally quieter week where we have Champions League coming up. All that preview and review is coming up for you.
I like that.
Yeah.
Preview and review.
A little spicy.
This is a better intro than I thought. I think
you kind of cooked.
Going around the table, we have a little bit of a case of the November sniffles. I feel like this time of year, I'm always getting like something.
Yeah.
How are those lozenges feeling?
Good.
Mouth is not numb? Good.
No, I'm already.
That wouldn't be good for a podcast.
Speak my ass off for no reason.
All right. All right. Let's go around the table then, Miles. How you doing?
Yeah, good. Good to be back. There's really nothing else I could say. But yeah, nice to be back. I feel like if you guys aren't already following us on TikTok, we had a nice milestone, which was nice to got a lovely. I was actually checking my phone, refreshing
Miles
and then
tone.
Good one.
And
it's a very Miles joke right there. Holy fuck.
Yeah. And no, it was great. Congrats. All right, it was a very nice.
Congratulating yourself.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh God, it was a.
And let's be honest here. Miles spoke in some of those TikToks, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
Vamos. Thank you. No, but it was great. If you guys don't know already, we did hit 20K on TikTok, so it was a big milestone for us. And
right,
we're
thank
all very
you to everybody.
Happy. Yeah,
thank you
supporting everybody. This podcast.
Yeah, impossible without you guys hating on Blake every video. Okay, I'm kidding. I was not, you know what? It was more hating on the Amarim video, was kind of hating on me.
Yeah, it was definitely hating on
me.
You were saying things like, we want, what is it? He was like, oh yeah,
why didn't
we
talk to Pep
Guardiola? Yeah.
But hey, we're turning heel.
WWE reference. Good boy.
All right. We said we wanted 20K by the end of the year over on TikTok, and we've hit that by
November 3rd. Love
that. Right.
Fourth.
Third yesterday.
We hit it yesterday. Brother, I was with you when we saw it.
I was delirious by then. So
Nando's to celebrate this week, lads?
Absolutely.
Yeah, low key. I don't know when, but sure.
Julian's Porsche is on me.
I will. You didn't hear your quota?
Pourquoi? Yep.
Because I said I was going to edit 5 TikToks this week. I only edited 4.
I mean, you think with the numbers we did and the output you
did.
If you really think it's worth his portion, then okay.
Listen, I said 3 and I got 4 out. So like,
look, here's the thing. Our podcast isn't known for like living up to those agreements, especially Nando's agreements or Jersey like agreements. Just
that's
not
true.
In general, but we can.
I don't know. He might let it slide.
No.
We'll see. By the way, speaking of hating on Blake, I was talking about this with him. You edited that Arsenal video in such a way.
Yeah.
To make him
really?
Look.
What?
You edited it. And so basically he says in the video, he's like, all we need to do is get 29 wins. And I know it obviously won't happen, but we just need 29 wins. In hindsight, it's very simple. You just completely took out the... Obviously, it won't happen. And
no, I didn't.
No, I didn't. It was there.
I know, but I don't. You didn't bring out the part where it says, obviously, that's unrealistic. So it just sounds like I'm saying, we're going to win the next 29
games. Yeah, because the TikTok was 57 seconds, and I had to get rid of something, or else we couldn't. It wasn't the optimal time. We got to maximize it.
I digress. Anyway, it was very funny.
I also had you in it going, I fucking love that.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking love that.
That was good.
So we were showing some love to you.
That was good.
Yeah.
It got 2,000 views anyways. So.
Yeah, it did not do well.
Did not do good. Did not do good.
Okay. Anywho.
Not as bad as the Kit videos, though. anyways.
That was a different story.
Hey, man. We got free kids. I can't even.
We did.
I am hating on it.
Thank you to all of our kids.
By the way,
no, thank you for all the kid sponsors. Genuinely,
no, actually, very, very thankful for all those. Yeah, they're just getting rid of the whole city stock, dude. Every single.
Wait, what?
Every single. No one like. They're not gonna listen to this podcast, Mr. Shirt. But every single video I see of Mr. Shirt, like sponsoring a big or like a there's a fucking whole city kid in there.
a whole
and a Southampton kid.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, not that we didn't like it.
No, it's a very nice kit.
Like you wore the Southampton kit.
Yeah, it's a nice. I'm very happy.
It's a really nice kit. It's like a real one too. It's good quality. Like,
they just have a lot of stock.
Yeah, I think they might be trying to get rid
of
the shitty whole stock.
Off the classic football shirt sale site.
Yeah,
a portion of
perhaps,
per chance.
We're very thankful though. Thank you very much.
No, we are.
Love your continued support. Sure.
Thank you so much.
Hey, if you want a mystery shirt, go check them out.
MrShirt.com.
Yeah. MrShirt.com. For now.
I don't even know what that means. Okay, let's get into some stuff.
All right, can we start with FPL Roundup? I feel like that should be like a good warm up.
I want to do it again because
go on, lad.
Here's the thing: I need to talk to all the FPL people.
FPL god.
There's only one.
Whoa!
At the stable.
No. I need to talk to like people who run FPL. Oh, okay.
Not run the FPL.
It's bullshit. The fact that. Did I come last this week? Yeah. Probably.
Oh my god, are you gonna fucking complain
about
Leif Davis?
No, because in my opinion, it should be your highest score general.
No, that's just not the
game. But it should be the game.
That's explain the context.
So, I have Leif Davis on my bench because, of course, Ipswich are gonna win the league in the next 10 years. We know this.
okay.
But also, you know I brought Robertson in, and he just didn't play.
Who, Andy Robertson?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Well,
because I took Gabriel out because I knew we were going to fucking lose.
Or did you take him out because you thought he was injured?
Both, actually.
Okay.
Both.
Okay.
Because I could have brought in Saliba.
Mm-hmm. True.
Because, anyway, not the point.
Anyways.
Robertson didn't play. Leif Davis did play. Got a goal and bonus points for 10 points. But he's last on my bench. And Denier did play. Who's also on my bench. Mm-hmm. But got a zero.
Since Denier's first on your bench.
But that's just dumb. Anyway,
no, it's not.
So it hasn't updated yet, so we can't really do roundup. Like, we can, I guess. So I think I came last with 36 points.
Yeah.
My best performer was Morgan Rogers.
What's the overall rank, Blake?
Guys, we don't talk about that.
My rank has been tumbling.
Next up is...
Your rank's been tumbling, bro?
Yes. Okay.
Mine has been...
Sure, go ahead. Speak.
No,
go ahead.
No, you go.
Yeah, I know I will.
Next is who?
Next is Miles. I think this week it just is the order of the actual standings.
Okay.
So Miles came third in this week. Morgan Rogers was his highest performer as well. Me and Miles have a very similar team. Actually, no, we don't.
We all had production off our bench, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Dan Byrne for Dan six, left alone for Miles. Julian had a 30. Oh, no. Julian has a 33. So he's less than me and Miles as a
player. Really?
Wow.
I was first like yesterday.
That's crazy.
My God.
Well, yeah, you also had no one do anything besides Mateus Cunha and Vardy.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and I had Rogers on my bench.
Yeah, no one else
did. How many points did Palmer get?
Three. Okay. And then obviously Antoine with 39.
That's really shit.
It's not good. Everyone blank except for Solanke, so he's a lucky boy.
Yeah. And I'm very lucky boy because I also missed the deadline again for the second week running. I don't know.
10 points.
I might have to hang up the boots too. For sure.
What has happened to this man?
Yeah, Semenyo on the bench, 10 points.
Six.
Not looking too good.
And that is your FPL roundup.
A really depressing FPL roundup.
Very depressing. Yeah. With the average, it was probably the lowest average I've seen in a very long time. If
just
not
like
the lowest ever.
Bro, the FPL gods. All right, at this point, it's the FPL god. Like nothing is going right. All right, the data shows this guy will do well, but he's doing shit. And like the most random players are actually doing well. It's just like guys.
Doesn't
like I
sense.
Feel like nothing is happening in FPL. Yeah. You know. Haaland has blanked for like the fourth week in a row. I'm dropping 15.2 million on him. Like, it's just, what are we doing here? What has happened to the game I love? But let's get off FPL as soon as freaking possible because we have a bunch of games to talk about. I don't think any of the Prem fans at this table had a positive result this weekend.
Yeah, you're right. It was not a positive week for FPL purposes or normal Premier League purposes at all.
Yeah. So. None of the Prem fans at this table has had a positive result.
Now, even for the neutral, for the neutrals this week.
The game's kind of gone. Ever since I said...
I'm telling you.
Ever since
La Liga's coming up first.
Okay, whoa. Ever since I titled that one pod episode, Prime Barclays is back. Prime Barclays has not
What
been
did
back.
You do, Blake? What did you do? You jinxed it.
I did, apparently. So where do you want to go first?
You know what? I think there's an Arsenal-sized elephant in the room that we need to talk about. And then we can go to City, and then maybe Liverpool, and then United.
So here's the thing. The league was gone for like a solid...
It just wasn't.
It's just not gone.
It just wasn't. It's well, still not.
However, you say that, but whoever was announcing our game did point out the fact that a team has never come back from an 8-point deficit at that point and won the league. I don't know how they find that stat, but yeah. So that's why I was like, the league's gone. But now it's a 7-point deficit, and it's Liverpool. That's okay. The leader. So I guess someone's done that.
But I was thinking back to 2 years ago when we bottled the league. How many points ahead were we?
Yeah, but
City?
At this point, though. Like, no one's come back at this point.
I see.
Which, again, seems like a really general
Well, you've broken
stat.
Records. Like, didn't you start, like... I remember, like, you've had, like... There was a stat last season or the one before where, like, no team has ever won this many games in a row to open up the Premier League season and not won the league or something like that.
But, yeah, like at Christmas. You know. It was the top of the table thing at Christmas.
That as well.
Oh,
that
yeah.
As well. But I think Liverpool has done before.
Yeah, no
but, yeah, something like that. But I'm just saying.
Right.
If that's shown anything, it's that these kind of like records that we make up don't really matter.
They just
don't.
But, lads, I don't know. It was giving lockdown vibes, which is cute and fun.
Lockdown vibes? Just like banter Arsenal. Vibes.
Yeah, like it wasn't, but I mean, like the midfield had no balance. There was no creativity. Like we're obviously missing Martin Odegaard. Like they tried their best, I guess. Saka had no service. Kai Havertz is just not. He's just not a world beater. Like he's a very good striker, and a lot of teams would love him. And he can get really hot and score a bunch of goals. But he's just not a world beater. He needs someone to create for him.
Mm-hmm. And it shows how much Martin Odegaard is important in that team. Like you guys were trying. Absolutely everything. He is such an enabler in that team. He makes things. He makes things happen. And without him, you can clearly see that. I don't think Nwaneri is like. I don't think he's just. I don't think he's ready for the highest level.
Lod 17. Yeah.
He might not be. But did you see that midfield?
Yeah, I know.
You need a creative guy, and it's not there right now. And it's just frustrating to watch. Like, I checked in with myself when I was watching that Newcastle game. Even when they scored early on. I almost expected it from how the game started, and I just wasn't that phased. Like, obviously, it was frustrating to see my team go down, but the way we've been playing, the trends that I've been seeing, even the game against Shakhtar midweek, we won off an own goal. We haven't been scoring. We haven't been playing free-flowing football like I'm used to. Mikel Arteta's tactics, he's been very, like I said, he's been very defensive, almost very shy to go for it in certain circumstances this season. It's just not what I'm used to for these past couple of seasons. So when they scored and Newcastle got the lead, beautiful header by Isaac.
Beautiful cross by Gordon.
Beautiful cross as well. I literally just sat there and went, yeah, that's about right. And then they lost, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense. It felt like a necessity to – it wasn't something that was out of the blue, which sucked.
Yeah, I remember you saying last week, it's either we win the next, like, six games and we go on a crazy run, or we lose the next three and the title's gone.
Yeah.
I know this team, guys.
Again, though, the title is not gone.
The title is not gone.
No, it's not, especially when City losing. Thank you, Bournemouth. Back on my good books.
Just a week later.
Hey, what a few weeks for them.
Hey, I was out on them, but they dropped me back in. Those little fuckers. Iraola, man, what a legend. But yeah, I mean, there's just nothing going right defensively on that cross. There's not much you can say. They could have done better. It was just a crazy circumstance, and it was perfect. Yeah. But we didn't, honestly, I don't know if you two watched the game. I think, Miles, you did, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any clear-cut chance that Arsenal had?
No.
I don't.
When Gabriel Jesus was the one who knocked on the door the most for us, that really shows. I think it was. I think he had it, like, one or two. Yeah. No, I don't.
It's just levels now, lads. Like, Jesus isn't good enough. Martinelli isn't good enough. Our midfield isn't good enough. The players are, but as a trio that's been meshing together, it's not good enough. And there's just a lot of things going wrong with this team right now. I'm excited to watch the midweek against Inter, but at the end of the day, even if we lose that game, it just hinders our chances to not make it through to the top eight round. The way we're going, we're probably looking at just the top 24 anyway, or whatever it is. Like, I don't know if we're going to continue on our form in the Champions League.
No,
it hasn't been convincing.
right now, I think the goal for Arsenal is to solo in on Champions League.
Yeah.
I think you need to put primary focus on the Champions League, although you obviously want to win the Premier League. But it's a trophy that you don't have. And with your current form in the Premier League, I'm not saying stop trying. Obviously, that would be stupid.
Yeah.
But genuinely, like, really, like, going for it in the Champions League, not being scared of, like, don't rotate any players or against the bad teams or anything like that. Just fully solo in on the Champions League. I think you guys can still have a pretty good campaign. You guys, it's November, dude. You can still have a great season.
Of course. And honestly, at this point, like, come 15th and win the Champions League, and I'll be the first person on that parade. You know what I mean? Like,
of course.
Like, I want one or the other. And again, just because of how the narrative has gone these past couple seasons, the Premier League would probably taste a little sweeter in comparison to, like, everything else going on, but it wouldn't, because we've never had a Champions League before, and all these Champions League, you'll never sing that, all of these jokes will be gone away because we will have a Champions League. So anyway, that's my say. This club is just like, I don't feel like United fans right now, but I kind of feel like United fans right now.
Okay, you're not like, I mean, you're not like numb to the pain, are you?
Like, no. But that game against Newcastle, like, I literally, like, I kind of expected a loss.
There is definitely something to say about the teams that you've played over the teams that City, Liverpool, et cetera, have played so far, right? Like, title is certainly not gone. Let's not overreact with that, all right? And, of course, the fixtures is, like, I don't want to give you a cop-out, an excuse on why you've been playing so bad, because there have been games like this one, like the Bournemouth game, where, like, the performances haven't been good enough. Mm-hmm. But when you keep in mind the fixtures that you've played already, mm-hmm. plus the guys that you have coming back soon with the great fixture run, I see good things.
Exactly. Like a few accumulated wins, and you guys are suddenly back in it, and suddenly the title is on. You're very reactionary when it comes to that.
Yeah.
Is that two losses in a row in the Prem?
No. But it's 1 point from our last nine.
Yeah.
1 point! From our last nine!
Oh, nine possible.
Nine possible points. Yeah,
you know how freaking disgraceful that shit is?
Yeah.
I think something interesting, at least it's kind of dawned on me recently, is like is that without Odegaard, obviously, like, we're shit.
And people were saying, oh, we don't even need Odegaard. You fucking losers. You goddamn losers.
I think at the beginning of the season, we kind of were kidding. We were kind of, I don't know how to put it into words, but we were kind of just telling ourselves that this team was good enough to go on and win whatever we want. But I think what's happening to us now is good for the club in a sense where it really reveals the cracks in the wall that really need to be patched up, where that means most likely selling these players and getting rid of this player. And I think that's really good for the club, because let's not kid ourselves, Blake. We both agree. Jesus needs to be gone. Martinelli, I think we can still get money for him. He's kind of useless. Trossard should not be starting.
Yeah, Trossard has been terrible like that, too, lads.
Is he still better than Royland?
Come on, man. Like, yeah. It's just...
Go on, Miles.
But yeah, no, I just think that... And then in the winter, or in January, or most likely in the summertime, we just go at it again and spend more money, I guess, with players that we need.
Well, yeah, and I guess now's a better time than ever to talk about Adu leaving the club.
Yep.
The man who is credited for a lot of the signings, like the Odegaard signing, like the Declan Rice signing, he's credited for doing a lot of things to get our club back. But also, some discrepancies in that. The Zinchenko signing, the... What?
You think that's a bad signing?
Wasn't a fantastic signing.
I just feel...
Go ahead.
Edu and Arteta are almost a package in when it comes to, like, Arsenal's rebuild.
Yeah.
Of course.
I think Arsenal fans are, or you in this case, I think you might be discrediting him for what he has done.
Maybe it's copium.
When did he come in? 2019?
I think so, yeah.
When he came in 2019, with Arteta, he's done an incredible job.
Yeah.
Thomas Partey, Declan Rice, Odegaard.
And like I said, maybe it's copium. Because, of course, we're going to miss him. And he has that chemistry. And Arteta and him are clearly... We're on the same page.
Yeah.
However, there's been a lack of a striker within that period that we've never solved, that he couldn't get done. And of course, he did many other things.
That's true. Yeah.
Saliba, like
even Martinelli. Saliba,
Gabriel.
I don't know if Gabriel was.
Gabriel was.
So, of course, Martinelli. There's a bunch of good signings there, but, you know,
contract renewals too.
Of course.
He got rid of the deadwood. Mm-hmm. Made the squad younger, more promising for
he's
the future.
Done fantastic things. And I wish him all the best in his new role. Miles, you can explain it better than I can, so you can go ahead.
Yeah. His new role is, I believe, I don't think it's confirmed yet by the club, but that Greek guy or the Turkish, whoever owns Nottingham Forest, offered him a role as CEO of the club, which originally he wanted to become CEO of at Arsenal. Right. Yeah. But obviously that's somebody else's position. Yeah. I can't remember because the last guy left. And, Forest offered him a job as CEO, and his salary gets tripled upon joining. I don't blame him. Also, I would like to say, though, we brought in Jesus, who was good for the first half of that season. We brought him in, and then we just kind of got okay with mediocrity with our strikers.
I feel like
and didn't
that's
bring
just
in.
The elephant in the room when it comes to his
legacy there.
Legacy, yeah, and how Arsenal are. That's what Arsenal fans are like zeroing in on, the Gabriel Jesus, how he hasn't really, delivered for the club, and the fact that he didn't really manage the 2024 summer very well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of players that you guys were tipped to get, or there was a lot of players that were rumored to Arsenal, like Ollie Watkins, mm-hmm. Isak, a striker, right? And since you guys didn't get them, now Arsenal fans are, maybe kind of getting mad at him for that. But overall, as a sporting director?
Absolutely. Insane. Did great things. However, also signed Nicolas Pepe, also signed David Luiz, also signed Pablo Mari, Cedric Suarez.
Willian?
Also signed Willian. Alex Runner, Run Arson.
Oh my God! Did he really make?
And then, and then after that, like Sammy Lokonga, we don't know. So after that kind of banter era, then it was your Martin Odegaards, your Ben White, your Aaron Ramsdale,
your
Tommy Yasu.
The culture of Arsenal at that time was much more welcoming to grow and develop players, anyways.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, like I said, there's nothing I can say. He helped transform my club, and I have so much respect for him, and I wish him the best. However, you could look at this two ways. You could look at this as a piece of our club leaving, or once again, a new opportunity for someone with the right mind, like an Arsene Wenger, which I know we said maybe not happen, but that'd be fantastic. Imagine that. Imagine that camera should be there. If there's one person who I know will have always the best in mind for the club, it'll be Arsene Wenger.
I wouldn't mind that.
Right?
Yeah.
So if that could somehow happen, that chemistry and his pull.
How old is he now?
I can look it up for you.
70s,
but
low 70s.
Again, not that. Of course, Edu had pull. Of course, he had pull.
Of course,
He's 75. I know.
75.
Yeah.
Wenger's 75. Yeah.
Of course, he had pull. But
I'm gonna look it.
Let's say Arsene Wenger comes in the next couple months. He stays till he's 80. Imagine the pull Arsene Wenger would have.
It'd have to be like a front. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
He has the position. Does he really have
exactly.
The input? But when the youngsters are coming on a tour of your training complex, you want Arsene there.
Yeah.
Thing,
So it's unfortunate, but it's a new opportunity. And this club clearly needs a change of something because it's not going the direction that we need right now. I'm looking at it as an opportunity to improve and not a big loss altogether.
It can be a big loss, though. It can be a very big loss. Yeah.
So, of course it can.
So the question is, with Edu leaving, do you trust people like Josh Kroenke to replace him sufficiently?
I do.
Well, no.
Yeah.
Like, I trust him to give me the money to do it, to give us the money to do it, but we need a footballing mind behind that.
Yeah. No, he's not. I don't.
To replace him.
Yeah.
Replace him. Sorry,
yeah,
I was like, what?
Josh is the son, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This isn't Manchester United this isn't Chelsea where the owner gets to decide who
comes
in and out.
So, I do, because, again, what has Josh Kroenke done for us so far? He's given us the funds, and he's given us the facilities to have Edu sign these players. So why wouldn't he just go out and find a good sporting director or someone who can fill that role, who will do more than a competent job? And I'm sure he'll talk with Arteta and the rest of the staff, and they'll figure something out, hopefully.
Yeah.
This is why I'm not worried, because our management and our ownership now isn't one that I'm scared of. It's not like you in the past couple of years, or even you've had some... So I think that this club overall is run well now. So I have full faith that they will figure out the best path for this team.
That's good. All right. I like that. One more thing I want to say about Arsenal before we move on to the next team. There's been another member of your squad that's been getting hate. Your set piece coach.
Oh, Jehovah.
He's been getting hate?
He's been getting hate.
You're kidding.
Yeah, bro, I've seen it all over Twitter. Yeah. I've seen it, bro, on Sky Sports they had a whole piece like saying like, "Oh, why does he think he's the center of attention going up to the touchline whenever Arsenal have a set piece?"
Because he's the coach.
The commentator said during the Newcastle game, they said, quote, "It's amazing how quickly he retreats into the dugout when the set piece doesn't go well." It's almost like he's a set piece coach.
It's almost like it's his job.
Wow. Like, it's ridiculous.
Is there actually media hate on the Arsenal?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Right. Yeah. But, you know.
It's Arsenal.
People love to hate Arsenal. And I'm kind of on your team today.
Like, yeah!
I would agree with that. No, for sure. Being the best team in the world at set pieces, obviously when it doesn't go well or when something contradictory comes.
It's heightened.
Yeah.
And genuinely, like, you are, like, the best team in the world on set pieces.
Without a doubt. It's not even fucking close.
Without a doubt. Like, last year, especially in that winter period, I remember you guys scoring, like, 5 games in a row with a corner.
Corners.
Like, Declan Rice free kicks everywhere. Just so sufficient. Even this season.
Even more.
Every corner. Saka, Gabriel. It's automatic, right? That's largely because of Nicolas Jover. It's not just...
Absolutely.
It's not just, like, swinging it into the box and let the big man get on top of it. It's, like, there's tactics to it, bro.
Absolutely.
So, I'm just so... confused by the hate on this guy. It's like,
thank you.
It's not like, do you remember a couple seasons ago when Newcastle had that assistant coach that thought he was the center of attention? Do you know what I'm talking about, Miles? I forget what his name is.
Oh my god,
Mike something.
Yeah,
it was
their first year in the Champions League, I think, and he was just acting like this big boy. Oh, he was I remember when the game ended against Chelsea or somebody, he was the first one to shake hands with the other manager.
Yes, Jason Tindall. That is that's an assistant coach that wants to be the center of attention, right? All right? Not this freaking set piece coach that only walks up the touch line on set pieces, right? It's not that kind of situation where, like, it's just somebody wants to be the center of attention and Sky Sports always switches it to him. Like, it's not that type of situation. So I just wanted to highlight that a little bit because I've been seeing so much hate about it.
Thank you.
Per se. But yeah. Anyways, let's move on to
Julian on Arsenal's side.
Yeah,
genuinely, man. Listen, I'm just trying to get on his good books before he convinces me that Martinez should have been sent.
I was gonna say, are we doing Arsenal agenda talk? Because I'm so ready for it. Or do we save that for when we talk about United? Because what are we? What?
The red card?
Yeah. What? Do you want to do it now or should I wait?
No, do it now.
Actually, I don't even think I've seen the full clip. So let me.
So from what I've seen and from what I've heard, like, it is stud towards the knee. Like, it looks bad. But.
Oh, but what but? What but? What but? Declan Rice got kicked in the fucking shins and he got sent off 4 weeks ago.
One, it's a little bit of a grazer. Palmer makes a bit of a meal out of it. And two, he kind of slips into the challenge like Bruno did against Spurs a couple weeks back. And, hey, judging off them reversing that Bruno red card, there is kind of like a, you know, a reference to go
this
to.
Is the screen.
Oh my god.
This is the screen.
Let me see the video.
Wait, okay, I'll keep podcasting because we know this is, while they watch the video. So from my understanding, it was,
it's not the best.
It's not the best challenge.
Wait, go. Is there a replay? Hopefully they can see too. Oh my god, that's such a red.
Yeah.
Like, just because it's a great, he literally went studs up to his knee.
Is he even trying to get the ball?
But when Trossard kicks the ball away, oh, second yellow, get off!
Isn't that the second time? It happened?
Oh my god! But guess what, guys? Guess what fucking fixture it was?
Oh, sit down!
Guess what fucking fixture it was? Guess what fixture was? Guess what fixture it was?
It's Chelsea.
It was Chelsea United. They don't want to make the big call in that game. But, oh, Arsenal City. It's okay, cause it's Arsenal.
Stop, bro.
Dog. Literally, United got done up by the refs a week ago, all right? Let's not
and
talk about
it. And I admitted that.
I know.
Is this the second time this season that Martinez has a red card controversy?
You think if this was Granit Xhaka, if this was Thomas Partey, bro, sent to the moon!
No, bro.
He doesn't have an agenda against him because he wasn't sent off.
He has a reputation is what I'm saying, bro.
Fuck, clearly he doesn't receive
his
him
nickname
here.
Is The Butcher. You can't tell me he doesn't have a reputation of being
nine. Like,
rough,
yeah, my nickname is The Butcher, but like, yeah.
Dan
Big DB sighting. Big DB sighting.
What is going on?
On the podcast.
He's chill like that.
Yeah, he's chill like that.
I hit him with the...
Anyway, we can move on.
What are we doing? Like, what am I doing?
We can move on. We can go to...
Am I Neymar? Or, what's going on?
That's crazy. We'll get on to the Chelsea game. I have a lot to say about it. But let's move to City, all right? On a brighter note for both of us, right?
Yeah. It was just like, it was like a consolation prize, you know?
Yeah.
A really nice
You couldn't concert. Celebrate it because yeah. of the Arsenal result,
but
of course.
It's always nice to celebrate Invincible
Day. It's massive.
Day.
It
and,
is
and
massive.
Invincible Day.
It is massive.
And Invincible Day.
Invincible Day?
Invincible Day.
Oh, they were the last team not to lose, eh? Oh.
I always look out for that every single year.
Oh.
Well, earlier came this year than
I
last
didn't
year.
Clock I
think,
it.
So, yeah.
It was inevitable. But, yeah, not fair. City losing 2-1 to Bournemouth, going down 2-0 at one point. They didn't look the best, lads. And it's not even, like, I think the attack is still there, but I think the Rodri miss is
it's what is crucial. Mm.
So many crucial. Transitional chances that they're giving up to these teams mm-hmm. is crazy.
The amount of times City gave up a counterattack that game, the amount yeah. of times Bournemouth is on the counterattack and they scored off of one.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It's insane. Without Rodri, and even if it's just a tactical foul that we all fucking hate to watch,
mm-hmm.
where he drags a player back and gets a yellow for it, even just that, there's no one there to replace his role, and you can clearly see that on the pitch.
Yeah.
It's Kovacic replacing his role.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
That's not great. That's not great. And will they get someone in January and all
I
problems
bloody
solved?
Hope not.
Bro, it would be so City to just splash 70 mil on Zubimendi. And then there you go. Why can I actually see that now?
Yeah.
After he'd been
he rejected
Arsenal.
Liverpool, too.
Because for City standards, they've been spending a little bit modestly in
yeah.
the past couple of windows.
They've been doing like the under the radar, like the Savinho.
No, they're definitely doing that because they want to go under the radar because of their stupid charges.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah. Since we haven't been spending lately, you can just
of
drop
course.
Them.
Of course. But desperate times, man. Oh.
I mean, yeah. I think their transfer profit's positive, too, so... Makes it even worse.
BB.
I
mean,
yeah. Arsenal spent £80 million on them so far. Yeah. Or gave them back £80 million yeah. for them.
City's next three Premier League fixtures are Brighton away.
Tough game.
Tottenham at home.
They always lose to Tottenham, except for that one fucking time last year. When
and
Son
Liverpool away.
Ooh. Sex.
How many points out of 9?
Oh my God.
Is the title back?
This is what I'm talking about when I say title is not over
yeah,
for
but
you
we
guys.
Suck.
Yeah, well, they suck right now. Fuck.
True.
How many points out of 9?
How many points out of 9?
I would. Lads.
It's going to be 9.
I think they take...
When have we ever seen City in the past 5 years go on an extended...
You know what, bro? And then the game after Liverpool is Forest.
No, genuinely, though.
Who's starting the table right now.
Who we need to talk about later. Mm. But seriously, when have we seen City in the past 5 years go on an extended period of bad games or losses.
But when have we seen City missing out on such a crucial player that is so important to have?
Absolutely, fair enough. But Pep Guardiola is too good of a coach. He's just too good of a coach to lose that many games. He'll discipline his players in a way that...
I admire Man City. They play fantastic football. But eras come to an end.
Oh my God, quote the legend himself.
He fucking looked that up.
Sacks
but
never forgotten, baby. My legend, Eric Ten Hag.
He looked up Eric Ten Hag.
And that's the fucking intro.
Oh,
there you go.
Oh
I love
my
it.
God.
What'd you look up?
Eric Ten Hag quote.
Oh my God.
That's great.
I love how he said that. And just
that was
nothing.
Such a bold way to start his
accent. This is what, bro, he's actually degenerate. Like,
he said that and nothing fucking changed.
Honestly.
But listen, he comes to the United, first day. What is he supposed to say?
Yeah, exactly. That's
you know what? Enough. It's going to be
not
really
that.
Hard.
Not that!
No,
no
come
no,
on,
it makes
no.
sense. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Amorim drops a similar bar.
Yeah, I would not be surprised at all. Oh. Thing is with Ten Hag.
Whoa, we're not doing Ten Hag talk. No.
He dressed...
We did Ten Hag talk last week, lad.
He dressed like he had it. He acted like he had it. But he did not fucking speak like he had it. Because I don't think he could. The language barrier was just too much of a thing.
That was
where even when he was doing well, it was like he couldn't stamp his authority on the squad like he wanted to because like who's really taking the guy seriously that can't like that just groans after every sentence, you know?
Huh?
The guy that was saying please when he thought it meant thank you in his first year.
Thank you, please.
You're talking like that. You're communicating like that. But meanwhile, you're banning names like Sancho, Ronaldo, getting rid of all this dead wood, right? And then while also getting pressed by the English media, it's just a recipe for disaster, isn't it?
Okay.
But
we're not doing 10 o'clock talk. I should have brought it up.
Started it, man.
Because it's just funny, isn't it? I know you like that.
I was trying to bring some football insight to it, but all right.
The football, I brought football insight. I gave you a direct quote from a manager. That is insight. I know. Did you like that? What I titled the episode?
I did.
Sacked but never forgotten.
That was one of my better ones.
That was one of your best ones.
I know.
Maybe top one.
It's top two, and it ain't two.
Fucking two.
What were we even talking about again?
9 points, City.
Yeah.
So what if they go on a cheeky little 1 out of 9 pointer? Like that'd be
they could
get the bird flying.
I don't see it happening.
Well, no, so, but errors come to the end. Like
dude, City doesn't come to an end. As long as they'll be under Pep Guardiola, they'll keep winning.
Well, that might be everything. Coming to an end as well.
You know what'd be the crazy
and that's,
thing?
And that's when I'll be like, okay, sure.
What if he just resigns?
Yeah, he will. He probably
you know,
will.
You know how well, terrible that would be?
Well, lads, this is the thing.
The England job is taken now.
I'm telling you, for matter of fact, and this is not just my bias here, they had Amorim lined up. They won Amorim. I can say that with 100% certainty that Manchester City wanted Amorim.
Yeah,
they just signed Sporting's sporting director, all right? Yeah, and Amorim just said in his latest...
Sorry, that's just sporting director. Sorry, Lance.
They just took their sporting director. All right, Amorim just
who's sporting director?
No, I'll wait. Okay.
It's good.
Who they signed?
They signed Viana. That's his name.
Who?
Viana. That's the name
of who?
Where? From where and what's his position? What did he do for the club? Where did he come from? I need
sporting director.
Okay, I'm done. I'm sorry.
This is so childish.
It's stupid.
So dumb. It's so dumb. All right. And then Amorim said in his latest Ligue 1 press conference that he got an offer 3 times as much than he did from United and turned it down.
I do.
He also asked United if he could come at the end of this season because that was his initial plan to leave Sporting at the end of this season.
Yeah.
So you add that, you add the money factor because 3 times as much as United's offering. I mean, what does that stink of? Mm, come on now.
For sure.
And Viana makes perfect sense. Perfect sense. I don't know what else they could be doing. Who else is picking? Like Liverpool's not looking for a manager. Real Madrid's not looking for a manager, we think. It's not going to be Leverkusen. It's not going to be Bayern. Well, it's not going to be Barcelona, certainly not.
Not us.
Not going to be Arsenal. So who else could it be? It has to be City. And that leads me to believe that with 100% certainty that at least the plan as of last week was Pep to leave at the end of the season.
That is fucking football heritage right there.
Yeah.
That's some good fucking investment.
Which means, Mr. Talibus,
yeah,
we're eating. We are eating.
And the England job is taken, too.
Yeah.
You're eating. You won't even go there.
We're feasting.
All right. 1-1 against Chelsea, feasting.
Yeah, I'll fucking take
he's
that.
Gonna, he's going to extend. He's going to extend. Yeah, I do not see Pep Guardiola.
Maybe now the plan is to extend.
Yeah,
now it is.
That makes so much sense, though. I love that from you.
I wouldn't. I expect now a little 1-year extension.
Yeah, maybe.
If they don't win the league this year, he's going to want to like show everyone up and be like, look, like we had an off year. I need to win it one more time before I go. That's my view on it.
Nah.
I just feel like another
maybe like a Xabi Alonso. Why not? The Saudis bring him in, just like bribe him with money.
The Saudis bring him in? What?
The owners.
Yeah. The sheiks. But yes. Yeah. The sheiks.
The sheiks.
The sheets.
That's fucked up.
Sorry. Sorry.
No, but I don't see Pep Guardiola downgrading to a worse team to try and prove his stature as a manager. I think he needs to protect what he has and protect his big name. Could retire.
What does he need?
What does he need?
Could go into punditry. Why not?
The English is like...
No, it's not bad.
True.
They could use a Pep.
But they could use a Pep.
They could,
for sure.
But there's no accent on punditry.
Yeah, there is.
No accents
no good on ones. Punditry? Like, they don't, I feel like they don't like that. Like, the English media wouldn't like that.
No, that's like, not true, man.
Seeing like Pep there's Guardiola. English accents. There's
they
no
had
foreign
they
accent.
Have Edgar Davids on I think a Sky show.
Actually, I guess,
they
had, I guess Henri is on, but that's Henri, like
yeah. But okay, see, imagine they had, seeing Pep Guardiola on CBS Sports Golazo. Next to Henri, yeah, Mike Caruccio. Yeah,
Bird would fly.
They yeah, had this is Optus Sport. This is Australia.
Bird would fly.
But they had
flying right now.
This is Optus Sport, but they had Eric Cantona. Who?
Oh, who can't
I mean,
speak at all?
Exactly. Yeah. So, like,
they're not bringing him on ever again.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay.
We need to get flowers to Nottingham Forest for sure.
Go. Give me some flowers.
The fact that they're third in the Premier League.
And this is
word. CHO, man. CHO.
CHO.
Finally.
Calum at the door.
Finally.
We hit another classic.
Potential.
Another curler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Chris Wood. Who would have
thought? Snub for Ballon d'Or.
Well, that's absolutely. That's why it's prime Barclays, because like Chris Wood, Jamie Vardy,
yeah,
these strikers are like still kicking it.
Who would have thought Chris Wood would be having an outstanding season like that?
Yeah. Oh
to be
God.
Fair, he did end last season on a crazy heater too.
I did, yeah.
You did?
He did, fuck.
Julian Bencourt scoring goals?
I need to top up more medicine. Fuck.
That's crazy.
Nah, but genuinely, it's really impressive. I think he has like 8 goals in 10 games.
Yeah, they're cooking.
Like that.
They're cooking.
Anything else to talk about?
There's one big game that I'm sure Julian wants to talk about. He's metting up right now. He's hitting that chug jug. I cannot wait to play Fortnite tonight. Oh my goodness, lads. The Chapter 2 Rewind came out.
Is it good?
I don't know. I haven't played it yet.
You haven't played it yet?
No.
Tonight's the first night.
Tonight's the night.
Okay.
I can't wait.
Hmm? You know that Dexter reference? Nope. Okay. Moving on.
Dexter like the show.
The show.
Oh, okay.
which I started watching now with Serena. So good.
Is it good?
So good.
The show?
Yes, the show. Okay. You're talking about the...
No, we're talking about the show. We're talking about the show! Move on! Pivot!
The Bay Harbor Shitter?
That's not very nice, Julian. I bet you feel very guilty.
Not at all.
What the fuck? I'm keeping this in. I hope you realize.
Good, leave it in.
Okay.
Trying to relate to the audience here.
Okay. It's a heavy task.
It is a very heavy
task. Okay, now what are we going on to? Go ahead.
Garnacho. Oh, my Lord.
He's Martinelli 2.0.
I'm not just saying it because we just mentioned shit. I definitely don't think that of him. Do not make that connection.
He's what 2.0?
Mark, okay, relax.
It's almost like I said it like 2 months ago.
Yeah, how's Zaire Emery doing?
Shit. It's been better.
He's declining?
So funny. He's declining? Yeah.
Sorry, continue. I just got carried away.
That's okay.
It's because, like...
No, it's you go.
Kind of said that.
Admit, though, he's Martinelli 2.0.
No, he's not.
No, I'm not ready to fucking say that.
He's better finishing, for sure.
Better dribbling.
Killer instinct.
100%.
Better one-on-one.
Yeah.
That's the only thing Martinelli can do is just run.
He just drives down, innit?
Yeah.
Drives down the byline. I'm not sure if...
Anyway, this is not a Martelli talk. This is a Garnacho.
Manchester United 1, Chelsea 1. I actually couldn't watch the whole thing because I was covering a girls' hockey game.
I was too. I did play-by-play. Check it out.
Yeah. No. But obviously caught up on the highlights like a good podcaster would do.
Pull up the font mob like a good podcaster would do.
I actually pulled up the Chelsea extended highlights.
Okay.
All right.
I don't think Man United do that.
They don't do that.
They don't hit you with the
excited. All right, our social team need to pick it up a little bit.
What do you know about PL and 30 on Fubo?
Oh, well, I don't.
No?
I know Stream East, but that's about it.
Okay.
It was an okay game. The thing... What?
He just
what?
Called you a broke boy.
What? Why are you snitching, bro?
I fucking agree, to be honest. Like,
oh, see, now it's sad. See,
yeah.
We're all broke boys.
I'm trying to save dollars. Good for it. Well, why do you think I didn't come to Chipotle?
Anyways, we need to lock
He's
in.
A broke boy. You can't speak English.
Let's lock
He's
in.
Eric Ten Hag.
United 1, Chelsea 1. It was an all right game for the neutrals. A couple of controversial calls in it as well, which we've covered. I don't want to get back into that. United open the scoring through a...
Bruno Fernandes penalty?
A bit of a, it was a penalty.
Mm.
You don't love to see those, but I do as a United fan. It was a penalty. What?
Would Arsenal have gotten that call? Be honest.
Yes.
Be honest.
Yes, they would. I think any team would have gotten that call because that's a soft fucking game that we're victim to now.
So they, you say you agree with me? They
yeah, I would agree.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You don't think Arsenal? Would
I don't think Arsenal would get the call.
No, they would. They would 100% got that call. I think any.
You didn't watch it. I didn't see it. I don't know what you're talking about either. I didn't see it.
Hoyland gets played over the top. He kind of takes it away from Sanchez. Sanchez catches his feet. He makes a meal out of it, but falls down and gets contact.
Okay.
It's just a foul. Yeah. And it is a kind of product of like the soft Premier League we're victim to now. Mm. But it's a penalty in 2024. Mm. Not that I like that, but it is. Mm. All right. Bruno scores on the spot because of course he is.
Bruno scores from the spot because of course he is. Sorry, I just have to. I can't hate on your team, so I'm hating on you.
It's because of course he does. And then like,
do you put Bruno in your top in your starting 11 worst players this season so far?
Starting 11 worst players.
Should we do that?
Worst play. I mean, it's just our whole lineup. Who else is there?
No.
Martin's we haven't really. Premier League.
Yeah. Oh. Finish your thought and let us.
It's literally just going to be Arsenal and United players.
No, it's not.
Like the worst.
I'll tell you right now, no Arsenal player gets in there.
No, Marcelo gets in
there.
Yes, he does. The misses against
the entire Premier League.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't.
Name a worst left winger who's performed this.
Can't think of the top of my head, but I mean, not Garnaccio. Martinelli.
Sorry, go ahead.
All right. Let me lock the fuck in.
Where the fuck was I?
Bruno.
Bruno scores because of course he is.
Bruno scores because, of course, he does. And then, like, 10 minutes later, Caicedo scores a nice volley. Have you guys seen the reaction videos out of Africa about this game?
I have.
Definitely not.
I saw the video.
Just can't say that's something I've ever accustomed to
I saw the video of the guy ripping the shirt off after
Yeah. I was hearing on Twitter, like, this... Am I racially appropriating here?
Just shoot.
Because I'm just saying just what shoot. I saw on Twitter.
What
okay?
is going on?
Just go.
I saw a tweet saying, like, people don't understand this is El Clasico for Africans.
I saw that.
Okay, it's not my own opinion. So, I'm just regurgitating a tweet that I saw. Because a lot of people, from that region support United, and a lot of people from that region.
No,
why did you lead with that?
Yeah, you left with like,
am I racist? Yeah, you just said I saw this on Twitter.
All,
is it true?
First of all,
and why'd you look right at the only African? He's like an African.
I'm not African.
He's like
I'm
an
not
African.
African.
But he looked right
because
at you.
He understands what I'm saying here.
I can totally understand with him because he's right though that Chelsea.
Thank you,
and
man. I don't
United
feel so bad about
followers.
It now.
But it's not something
it
that we need
opinion.
To get all serious about.
Why would you feel bad?
Yeah,
I don't feel bad. But you said you start laughing. I don't want to get canceled on the podcast.
Why are we talking about this right now?
Also, you said you feel bad. You just said, I feel bad.
Anyways, because a lot of people in that region support Chelsea, and a lot of people
don't
from that
need
region
to
support
explain
United.
It. A lot of people of the West African nations. No, just like it's cool. Like it's funny.
So you guys, saw that video.
The African El Clasico was this weekend. It was Man United versus Chelsea. Go ahead.
Yes. Caicedo equalizes, and then...
Isn't he Ecuadorian, though?
He's not African.
Okay. You're just talking about the players on the team that are heavily supported by a lot of people in Africa, okay?
Do we have to cut this?
No.
No.
Okay, I'm just making sure you...
They don't even have any Africans, like Onana.
And this Nicholas is the kind
of... Oh, yeah, there's one on each.
Senegalese.
Yeah. This is the kind of color commentary you get on the Real Football Podcast.
It's just not the Real Football Podcast, is it?
Oh, my God. Yo. Drew's having a stinger today. He's having a stinger today.
The hat's off.
Put all my effort in the intro. Off. And now.
Yeah.
There are a few things to talk about this game. Garnaccio is going to be the main one. I'm not too much in the business of hating on a 20-year-old, but he was wank.
There's a joke there. I just can't find it.
He was wank?
It's not just the finishing because holy fuck. It was the wide open finish from the top of the 6-yard box.
Hey.
That he just completely fluffed.
That's so unserious, guys.
This is what happens. We don't produce. This is what happens.
We
don't completely
produce.
Off the
keep talking about Martinelli.
We just have the Monday sillies. It's okay.
We do.
It was the decision making. It was the cutting inside, trying to get it on his left foot instead of passing it off to the fullback who has
his left foot.
His right foot.
Oh my god.
It just keeps piling up.
Julian Bencourt
just keeps fucking going.
Just stop. Just can we move on? Like, oh my god.
It's okay.
No, but it happens with his left foot. It happens with his right foot. He just loves to cut inside and take a long shot instead of just opening it up to the wing back to then enable a driven cross inside. And that happened so many times in this game, and I was so frustrated. And I hope that with Amorim coming in, that could be something that he fixes per se. I am worried a little bit for Garnacho because, like, I've been looking into Amorim's, like, style of play, mm-hmm. like, what it's going to be. And, like, the two positions where you think he would play would be either the right-sided winger mm-hmm. in his system. But, like, that kind of position, that kind of role is more like a 10. Like, the right side
in
the
Amorim system.
In the Amorim system. It's more like a 10. You play very centrally, like kind of right behind the striker. You kind of invert into some pockets of space, literally like a midfielder.
Like a 4-1-2-1-2 narrow.
You're almost playing more with the two center midfielders that are going box to box than you're linking up with the striker,
so why
the number
is it on
9.
The right then?
What's that?
Why is it on the right then?
Well, either he plays on the left or the right, but I'm saying that kind of role doesn't really suit a Garnacho.
Do you not have a central player in that midfield? Is it a 4-3-3? No, it's a 3-4-3. Sorry.
It's a 3-4-3.
My apologies.
So three center backs, and then the wing backs is the other position.
I honestly understand what you're talking about now. I was thinking of this as a 4-3-3.
Yeah.
And then I realized Amorim doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Apologies.
Doesn't really fit in that Amorim kind of role, mm-hmm. I'm getting a sense of.
You know,
I hope the decision-making can be helpful, and I trust Amorim to find a kind of spot for him. But just in terms of the role that Garnacho plays and the role that Amorim employs, I'm a little bit worried in that aspect. Mm-hmm. I would much expect kind of a Bruno on the right side. On the left side, it's up for debate. You could expect Rashford there. You can expect Garnacho there in the first couple of months. You can expect him to experiment with maybe an Amad out there or on the right. Maybe bring in a youngster or two. But then you could also really expect him to bring in like a left-sided 10 in the summer or maybe even Jan. Who knows? So,
you know, I'm really, really excited to watch under Amorim.
Go on.
Rasmus Højlund.
Same.
Because if he could have transformed Victor Gyökeres into a top world striker.
Who was a championship flop, mind you.
He was a championship player for Middlesbrough who almost got promoted to the Premier League but fell short. Mm. Completely transformed him at Sporting. If he could do that same thing with Rasmus Højlund, who we saw glimpses of last season as a top striker, he's genuinely going to be one of the best strikers in the world.
By the way, side note, did you guys see that Gyökeres, I can't pronounce it right, that free kick? I know he scored a lot of goals, but you see that free kick?
Mm-hmm.
Bombokla.
I saw it. It was great.
It's like an Ibrahimovic technique.
Mm.
Yeah. Think of an Ibrahimovic free kick. 30 yards out, just like
it was
straight.
No, yeah, it should be exciting. Like, it's obviously not gonna happen with Xerxes, so I mean,
I don't expect it to.
Yeah,
I can't wait for United to be linked with Gyökeres every 5 minutes.
Give him to us, man. You guys signed enough good strikers. You had Ibra and Ronaldo in the past 7 years,
who were 36 each. Hell of
okay, people. And so better than any striker we've had.
And you had Aubameyang, who did better in the Premier League than both of those guys. Touche. Thank you. I'm really excited for Højlund. I don't think the Ten Hag system worked a lot of the time, but the Amorim one is much more suited to his play. Like, if he gets those balls in behind, if he gets those crosses into the box, like... Brother! The second episode in a row, all right? I understood the last one, all right? This one is not bad.
No,
the ball's in behind.
Oh, wait, looking at me for it.
It's because Antoine's face only.
What is this episode?
Yeah, what is going on today?
I don't know.
He didn't play for Middlesbrough. He played for Coventry, you absolute wank. Sorry.
a lot of wank talk.
Jesus.
A lot of wank talk today in general.
Oh, my God. This is crazy.
Expect a lot of balls in behind for Rasmus. Expect a lot of cross into the box, which Amorim Systems employs a lot.
Expect a lot of great transitional play, similar to Manchester City, which is also why Manchester City wanted him in the first place, because it's a very similar style.
You know what we call that? I call
Guardiola.
That.
What? Blink is just on a rampage today.
I said, it's a callback.
A callback?
I said, you know, we call that a callback.
Okay.
Because it was a callback.
The snap needed?
It just had a little zest to
it. The sauce is really zesty.
Oh my God. I want to do that with my dad so badly, but he doesn't live here. So.
What? Oh, it's my favorite trend.
He's not here. He doesn't live here.
Here as in?
Florida.
Oh.
You didn't know that?
No.
This is not dad talk.
Yeah, not dad talk. Mine's in France anyway.
True.
Let's talk about our dads out of the country.
Am I the only one
with a dad? I'm the only one with a dad in this country.
Wow. Too bad he's a City fan.
Yeah. Did you see? Me and Julian were looking at this in class. Man City are hosting a trophy celebration in Toronto.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. What trophy?
The Premier League trophy.
When? Wait,
November 29th to December 2nd?
Yeah, November.
Is it
like that?
Like sanctioned by City?
Yeah. It's an official City thing. It was an ad from Man City.
Mm-hmm. Who's going to be there? Like,
I don't know.
Probably just the trophy, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh. You know who might be there?
The sporting director. The sporting
what do we call that, Blake?
I call that.
Who might be there? Footy culture.
Oh, I'm placing a crisp 50 on that. They're 100% there.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out Footy culture.
We do love them.
Yeah.
And their football deal.
And their football deal. Definitely got to get in touch with them.
That should be me holding your hand. This is a random song that has no relevance to this topic. Anyway, do you have more things to say?
Probably. One more thing on the Chelsea United conversation. It kind of produced a conversation around the Premier League and Premier League atmosphere, especially this weekend. I was hearing a little bit about it on TV. I heard a lot about it on social media. I don't know if there was some weird switching or leveling going on in the Premier League audio room, but the stadiums, I hear from reports, sounded pretty quiet this week. And people are blaming it a lot on, you know, some passion being taken out of the game through money over the past couple of years, through City always winning the league, through VAR, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I want to get your guys' opinions and say, do you think there's any truth in that? Have you ever noticed it watching the Prem recently? And what do you think is the reason? Say I'm selling again. Say I'm selling again. That was good.
That was good?
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know. I haven't noticed anything, but
I've been saying this. There has been a clear decline in level.
I see. He almost fucked up too.
There's been a clear decline in level in terms of entertainment in the Premier League.
It's been declining.
It's been declining.
It's been going down.
No, seriously though.
No,
entertainment wise, I don't think the Premier League's up there anymore.
Are you talking about on the field or like the fans, the atmosphere?
Honestly, both. I'm saying, excuse me. When you mention big fans and big ultras, you English teams are rarely in that conversation. It's always either the German teams, the French teams, the Italian teams, even the Spanish teams. I get Real Madrid maybe aren't very loud when their team isn't winning, but the Spanish teams still have a solid fan base. I'm putting English fans, although they're very good at supporting their teams, it's very different. And like they sing songs, and it's mostly chants in England.
Yeah.
But in terms of pure noise, in terms of support, honestly, when it comes to the top five leagues, they might be four or five.
Yep. Yeah, that's fair.
No. I think when we first, all the four of us, when we start, as the time around, we started to really focus in on being football fans. I don't know when that was, but there started to be these sort of rules that, well, like, yes, I agree with you. There's never been that sort of like TIFO with the flares and all that going on in the UK, but there's started been this movement to kind of, you know, you can't drink beer in your seat anymore. At least it's in stadiums in the Premier League and most of England. You can do it in Germany. You can do it a lot of other places, which does take some of the, out of it. You know, you can't bring it back to your seat. There's been a lot of rules put in place, especially in the Premier League, that really contains, bottles up that, what's the word? The atmosphere, atmosphere, all of that.
Imagine going to a Jays game and not having a beer.
No one would come to the game.
Like, what?
Yeah. In your seat, most importantly, yeah.
Yep. Whoa. No, I like baseball. Not the point. I think the product has definitely gone down, and it is a city thing that is mostly the beneficiary of that. The product going down. I guess the beneficiary is not the right word, but they win every freaking year. They've won, what, five of the last six? Six of the last seven? Might be six of the last seven, lads.
Yeah.
It's definitely five of the last six. But either way, there's no competitiveness. And because there's no competitiveness, I feel like the fans, especially going for a title, like an Arsenal fan or a Liverpool fan right now, getting second or third doesn't really mean much to you if you're not winning the title. In France or in Spain or in these other clubs, like, I feel like the top four teams are a lot more volatile. They're very they're not static. They change all the time.
I mean, I don't really like that argument because in leagues like France,
no, but
PSG always wins.
But here's my point. But I feel like the top four changes a lot.
Well, last year you had Aston Villa fourth. 2 years ago you had Newcastle fourth. I don't know.
Maybe I don't know ball.
No, I'm not saying you don't know ball.
Okay. But obviously, the most attention is going to be who's at the very top of the league competing for titles.
I don't think a team repeatedly winning a league impacts the way that the fans react to their team winning.
I do think that as well, yeah. I don't think the average Crystal Palace game goer is losing passion because City's winning the league every year.
But because City has won the league so often, when I watch a game, that implication, because my team is going for the title, is always on my mind.
Okay, maybe for the top teams, that applies. Sure. But a Crystal Palace doesn't expect to win the league, therefore they wouldn't go into the game thinking, oh, well, it's done. Manchester City already won the league.
You know, yeah,
they have different implications within the season.
Sure. Do we think VAR has a part to play in this?
Nah, we're used to it now. You get to celebrate twice. Kind of fun.
Nah. I would say I almost celebrate less if a goal is even somewhat dodgy. If there's a ball played in behind and there's a breakaway goal, I almost never celebrate. No, I'm like, it just instinctively, I don't want to do this, but instinctively I go, might be offside. Let me not embarrass myself here.
But you can tell though, usually, if it's going to be a little,
if it's like really close, you're still celebrating. You're not.
Yeah.
If it looks onside, you're going to celebrate regardless. I don't think VAR is impacting the way that fans act as at games. The only time it impacts it is when a goal is scored. Throughout the entire game.
That takes passion out too.
It does take
passion. If you're a fan in the stadium and your team scores and then there's a 5-minute check for VAR, like, and there's no, you know, replay on the screen, there's no transparency in what's going on, you don't know what's being called for what, that takes a lot of passion out of it. And then all of a sudden, through being shown no evidence, you're just like, oh yeah, that goal I just celebrated 5 minutes ago, yeah, that just doesn't count.
Yeah, I guess.
That's fair to say, but I don't know. English fans were never really reputed to be some of the best fans in the world. Before VAR, after VAR, it's always been Germany, France,
the Scottish fans are good.
Yeah. The southeast teams, the Slavic teams, their fans are crazy. Italy, Germany, I said Germany already.
I know what you're saying.
Almost all the other leagues come before England when it comes to sheer support and atmosphere and anything when it comes to fans.
I think, though, there is a sort of an interesting conversation to have about the difference between sort of this idea of showing, like, having a good atmosphere where it's ultras, like ultras, you know, dressed in black, flares all the time, massive, to a difference between, like, showing proper support, because I, in my personal opinion, I think across all of England, there are fans that no matter how bad their team gets, they're going to show up every single week and the stadium's going to be sold out, this and that, whatever. I still think that happens for most teams. Like, you know, like you can go down all the way to League Two, you're going to get your consistent sold out attendance for a 10,000 seat stadium in all the way down League Two every single week, regardless of what happens. I just think there is a sense of, I say, hooliganism and these ultras that just doesn't exist in England, which is very, I don't know. It's interesting to look at why that is.
It's a point.
Yeah.
There was a team, I'm trying to look for it right now, but I can't really find it. There was a Premier League side, I believe, that actually began decreasing the amount of season tickets given out every single season. And they do that just because if you don't give out as many season tickets, you'll obviously have more tickets you can sell on a week-to-week basis, the more seats you can fill with just the touristy fans, the more fans that are more likely to to spend in the shop and for food and everything. But you are taking passion away from by not letting as many diehard season ticket holders into the grounds.
And that ultimately comes back to money.
And that ultimately comes back to money. Like, it is, I don't care what you say, right? If you're like a Newcastle fan, obviously you're a much better side now and you have to feel more connected to your side because of that. But there has to just be a level where there has to be a disconnect because of who your owners are. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you feel that sometimes with how much money you're spending and why. Obviously, when you're winning league and titles, you probably don't care. But there has to be that disconnect there somewhere. And it takes away a little bit of passion, especially when they're beefing with the ultras there.
It's last year's beef with the ultras was, I think, justified. I was definitely on on the more of the fan side than the player side. I think it's different with PSG because Al Khelaifi was a PSG supporter his entire career, his entire life. He was almost raised in Paris. He spent a lot of his teenage years in Paris. So there's a background there, and it's different. And yes, he has a lot of money, and yes, he spends it a lot. And it maybe for other clubs, it could impact. As you said, that disconnect. It's possible.
There has to be that disconnect.
But I don't feel it, honestly, with my team at least.
That's fair. I mean, maybe it's just been so long that. I mean, how much of PSG before Al Khelaifi do you remember?
Dude, not much, honestly.
It's been a while now.
It has been a while now, yeah.
2011.
But I'm just saying, like, even if United got taken over by Qatar, not that I'm like a Manchester lad, obviously, but I would genuinely feel just a little bit less connected with the club.
Still finds a way to complain about the owners. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Just uncalled for. I don't know what I'm doing. But there's a point to be made.
So I think it's that. I think it's ticket prices going up in general. City increased their ticket prices this season. Same with Arsenal, United, Villa, Newcastle. You know? Obviously, there's inflation in that as well, but no.
It's always money.
It's never going to change. And it's everywhere. Worse and worse. And it sucks.
Yeah.
But
that's just sports in general, isn't it?
I think I like what Germany, just on the last point, Germany has a very interesting thing that I think, I hope it's still true, where
51-49?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. 51%
rule.
There can only be a majority owner of owning 49% of the club. The rest, the other 51% of it would be owned by solo shares, singular shares, which would be the fans or shareholder. I mean, the fans are shareholders. Sorry,
Yeah.
That's very interesting, and I think a lot of that is due to, or it's great for.
But then that's the thing, like, it's great for Germany in terms of passion and all that stuff. Yeah. But that means that German clubs can't spend as much money, and that's how you're getting, you know, Ipswich competing in terms of money spent with like a Stuttgart or something. Mm-hmm. It's like, how does that happen? It's because of the money in the Prem.
Shout out,
yeah.
Weird topic that. Yeah.
We're at 68.
Yep.
Do you want to do a cute little UCL roundup?
We should.
Have to talk about Neymar too.
Yeah. Oof. Go Neymar. I feel like UCL round, like, go. I'd rather talk about Neymar.
We'll end it on UCL.
It's just so disappointing, dude. Like, I feel like this injury really encapsulates his entire career. How it's just, I want to say, unfulfilling.
Mm.
Leaving us on the edge, waiting for something more to happen, but it just hasn't happened. Everyone was so excited for Neymar to come back after his year break, even if it's the Saudi League. Everyone loves Neymar. It's probably one of our favorite players of all time.
For sure.
One of the most creative players on the field.
Dynamic.
Technically crazy, dynamic, so enjoyable to watch. And it's genuinely just the prince that never became king, like everyone says.
Yeah.
He had such crazy potential to be that guy, to be the number one in the world.
No.
The fact he doesn't have a Ballon d'Or at his age right now and that he's just chaining injuries over and over and over and over and over again.
Criminal.
It's so disappointing. It's just,
he's still a top 20 player ever. Maybe.
More than that, let's say.
When we did our list, you probably put him top 10, right?
Sorry. I don't remember, but yeah.
But yeah, like.
And part of me thinks it's because of that PSG transfer, honestly. And it probably is. As much as I want to defend it, and as much as I thought that he was making a better move for his career, I think ultimately it made him lazy.
Mm.
It made him lazy because he stopped really caring as soon as the money came in. That's probably ultimately why we see him in Saudi now. a lot of when you grow up poor, there's obviously a passion with football for him.
Yeah.
But when you grow up poor and suddenly a crazy amount of money comes in, you're going to get attracted. When he moved to PSG, I think he played half the games that he was supposed to play because of either injuries or time off or illness or
sister's
birthday, anything, dude. It's laziness killed his career. I think he could have worked harder and became a better player. Maybe we could have seen the full potential that we always wanted to see from him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just sad, man. Honestly, it's just really, really sad. I hate to see it.
I know. Like, we're not going to have much. There's only so much you could tell the next generation coming up of how good of a player Neymar
was. You're going to tell your kids, like, oh, he was so fucking good. Like, he was so good on the ball, creative, technical, but he never won a Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
You're going to hype him up to be one of the best players in the world, but he never got the award that the best player in the world gets. You know?
Which, to be fair, a lot of really amazing players,
especially in the Messi Ronaldo era. Yeah.
Messi Ronaldo era.
He was
one of those players that it wasn't just about he'll score the most goals. He'll just take over a game. When you watch him, you're just enthralled by his ability to manipulate the balls and see the player But his footballing ability is simply second to none.
Yeah,
and the fact that he doesn't have the one big trophy to show for it is definitely.
And we haven't had many players since then.
Yeah,
that can replicate that kind of feeling.
Is it, according to you guys, a failed career?
No, guys, come on. No, guys.
Career would be like
a stretch.
A Robinho, you know.
Uh huh.
That was a failed career.
What are we talking about?
He's not a failed career, but.
Did he reach his full potential? No,
a bit of an underwhelming legacy.
Underwhelming, yeah.
Slightly. Yeah, but so is R9. We don't think of it as that because we didn't watch him. But so was R9. Ronaldinho at some points as well.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a Brazilian thing. Like, I don't know. No, I'm not like making it about that. But maybe there is like some sort of, like you said, growing up poor. Maybe that's a thing that has to do with it. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But. It's not a failed career. You wouldn't say
it's an unfulfilled career. For sure.
Yeah, exactly. It's unfulfilled.
Yeah.
However, multiple Champions Leagues.
Yeah.
Multiple La Ligas. Ligas.
Was it multiple Champions Leagues?
It was multiple Champions League.
Yep.
I think he has two.
When is the second?
He has two.
2015 and...
2015. They went back to the back?
No.
They did, no?
No, Real Madrid won 16.
Oh, it's just the one?
20.
One time, I lied. One.
He has one?
Yeah.
Just the one.
He has one.
I remember that like it was yesterday, bro. He scores the final kick of that game against Juventus to make it 3-1. Mm-hmm. He's got the headband with 100% Jesus on it. Yeah.
Mm.
Oh.
Sorry, one time Champions League.
One time Champions
League. Still, it's all you need.
It is really sad to see a player like that kind of show that he's leaving our game. I know he was in Saudi already, but just like being able to watch him was at least something, right? But it doesn't even seem like we're going to get that much anymore.
Yeah.
When does his contract with Saudi run out?
I got it.
Is it end of this season? Because if it is, what if he runs it back one more time and goes to Inter Miami?
He's just not going to do that. Even if he does, it's not. Julian, he has been chaining injuries genuinely since 2021.
Yeah, I think it's the end of this year.
Like it's this done, season. Julian. Let it go. As sad as it is, damn, it's crazy.
I don't know.
It's done.
You hate to see it. Well, do you want to do UCL quick?
And on that note, let's hit a UCL. Little UCL roundup.
Again, I'm bored of UCL already.
How are you?
Bored of UCL already? Mate, you're...
It just seems like...
So your team,
you're about
so
to play
for
the
top
Italian
eight.
Champions.
So I'm not excited. I don't think it'll be a good game.
I'm not saying it will be.
So how are you bored?
So
how are you bored of the Champions League?
You're not.
You can't be.
You're lying. He's calling you a liar.
Three games in, you're bored.
I'm not bored.
When you're contending for top eight,
I don't know.
You can't be bored.
I don't know.
This is. I would be excited if I was you.
Okay.
Is it just because Odegaard's missing or?
You're just disillusioned with football in the moment because Arsenal are facing some issues.
Sure. Maybe. You could say, yeah.
Great analysis we're getting here.
You're looking at me to talk, and I just I have nothing left to say. I'm sorry, lads. Like, I just...
All right, let's go through the other games. Can we get a quick score prediction for Arsenal-Inter?
0-0, I'm so honest.
I see you 0-0 as well.
It's such a 0-0 game.
It's like a little same Arsenal-Atalanta type vibe. Oh, same thing.
God, hey, you'd still be going undefeated.
Two teams that parked the fucking bus.
But it's not fun anymore, lads. And ultimately, I love football. Here's a question. What do we love more? The football as a game or the club?
What? As an Arsenal, United?
The football.
Whoever.
Without the football, there's no club.
Yeah, but you're attached to football so much because of your club.
Because they play football.
Yeah, but without the club, you wouldn't be as interested in football. Without PSG, you wouldn't watch the rest of...
Well, I would.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be attached to it.
I'd probably be attached to another team.
Yeah, exactly. A team.
Yeah.
Like, without football, I love the Leafs more than I love hockey.
Without football, you can't be attached to anything. There's no sport.
Yeah, but it's like chicken and the egg. This is a good debate, actually. Not.
Dude, I'm kind of lost on this debate.
What do you mean?
What are you saying? What do you prefer more? The club
not
or the football?
What do you love more?
That's the same thing. What do you love more?
Do I love
the club
football
or the football?
Or
without the football,
more.
There's no club.
I would say I love football more.
Exactly.
I don't know, lads.
And in turn, you like the club. It's a chain reaction.
I don't think this is a crazy question.
I think it's an insane
question. Okay, so here's a philosophy question for you.
Oh, boy.
Would you back the creation of a Super League if you knew that Arsenal was going to win it?
No, obviously not.
Okay, then you're back in football first.
But that's a genetically modified scenario.
Bang.
That
that's good though.
Bang. Also,
it's good.
I have another but one. We make all of these. We don't. This podcast was made to talk about our clubs.
Well,
at the base. No, let me finish. At the basis of it was made to talk about our clubs.
I think it was.
We
made
go
to talk
on.
About football.
We go on our best rants about our clubs.
Yeah.
When we talk passionately about the clubs that we feel most connected with, it's not about, it's football adjacent, of course. Of course, it's a bit about football.
Technically.
But it's about the club.
Technically. We pitched it as talking about Canada, too.
That is true.
Lads.
How's that going?
All I'm saying is, though, we have these moments, and of course it's football moments, but the moments that we get most excited for isn't like, it's never going to be, you know, for us at least, it's never going to be seeing Messi at Inter Miami score in the MLS Cup final. But that's a football moment that should be noted as one of the a good moment because it's Lionel Messi in the new league and blah, blah, blah. It'll be the moment when Manchester United finally wins the Champions League again and Rasmus Højlund scores the winner in the 89th minute. You love that because of the club, not because of the football.
Of course. Of course. It's like... I'm trying to think of like a non-sport comparison to this.
There isn't. Like, it's only sporting comparison.
Yeah.
I love hockey, guys. I love the Leafs more than I love hockey. I would die for that team. Like, genuinely. I love them more than I love the sport of hockey.
I see it. But I also love football when there's the World Cup going on. When Canada's
that's
playing.
Different because I'm also in the same like we I grew up I didn't love Arsenal always. I loved
like
playing
when
football.
like when we had lockdown. And the first game back, it was what? It was Dortmund, and it was Bayern?
Schalke.
Schalke.
Yeah, of course.
I was locked into that game. Why? Because I love football.
But again,
I miss it so much.
But also why? Because you didn't get to see your club play. That's also a reason.
Well,
so
United was back.
Starving for watching.
United was back like a couple weeks later, but I was starving for football.
Well, of course.
Yes, everyone loves football.
But I'm just saying. I think it goes both ways, and I think a lot of people would agree with me. I'm not saying it has to be like super disparate. Oh, my God. Now I'm fucking up. It doesn't have to be super like far apart.
I see what you're saying, but no, you know.
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know if I fully agree with it. The hockey one I do. This football one I don't know. But
all right. Quick Champions League preview because by the time this episode comes out, it might be over by now. Let's go. Quick predictions. Miles, Dortmund or Sturmgrass?
We're doing all of them.
Dortmund.
Not all of them.
Dortmund.
Celtic or Leipzig?
Draw.
Loki Celtic. No, draw. Lille Juventus.
I'm gonna take Lille here.
Oh, I really so am. Would do that.
Back in my boys.
No, I am.
French football.
No,
you're bringing down French football.
You have to put respect on Lille.
Yeah.
You really do.
Respect on Jonathan David.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Beating Real Madrid 1 week, Atletico the next.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing some.
Did he score a core penalty this weekend again?
He scored an open play goal this weekend.
Even better.
Yeah.
I think
if only he could do it for Canada. He will.
I think Real Madrid bounced back against Milan. It's their first game since the El Clasico, let's remember. Because the game against Valencia got canceled, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Prayers up, for sure. Prayers up to Valencia with what's happening right now.
Shit's awful.
Fucking insane, dude.
Years worth of rain in a couple of days.
It's terrible. It's
crazy.
I know.
Man. Sporting Man City. Now, this is one for the table.
Man, City's going to win. What do you mean one for the table?
Hey, you were talking about transitional chances that they were giving up. Now they're going up against Sporting.
Yeah, that's for sure. But it's their first game without Amorim. I don't know how they're going to fare up against.
No, Amorim's there.
He's there?
Yeah.
Okay, then mate.
He's there? What? How?
He's not joining United until the 11th. He's coaching Sporting against City tomorrow.
That's so stupid.
And then he's coaching Sporting against Braga at the weekend.
That's so stupid.
And Where is he going? So he's only joining United on the international break. He's settling in a little bit.
Hold on, because it's in Portugal too.
Yeah, it's at the Dragão. Nope, that's Porto. It's at Sporting Stadium.
Estadio José Alvalade.
Yeah, that one.
Look, honestly, you're kind of right. Yeah, City have been giving up a lot of counterattacks.
It could be City's gonna win 3.
Sporting are a very counterattacking team.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason,
City 3-0.
Yeah.
Speaking of, point that I have to make. Was it you? Which one? The Amorim press conference today?
Oh, yeah.
It was bad. Like the announcer or the English commentator asked him a question and he wanted him to respond in English. He said, no, I'm not doing English, because he was like, he joked, they're going to miss me speaking in Portuguese. Maybe he was being serious. He was like, no, you spoke in Portuguese. This is the reporter. No, you spoke in Portuguese for like 25 minutes. I want 10 seconds in English.
Oh, he was being like
genuinely. I hope he gets fired. Fun. That guy deserves. So worst.
I remember.
Like,
so
I don't know what
that
the hell he was doing.
That same reporter. Let me get his name because he deserves to be publicly shamed.
Okay, well,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it was really bad. It was
a Portuguese coach coaching a Portuguese team to speak English in a team that he hasn't even joined because he's going to join a team that he hasn't even joined yet.
Oh, freaking disgrace, that Amorim press conference. Yeah, oh my God, where is it, dude?
So honestly, those people don't need attention. He probably did it for attention.
No, because my thing is, he did the exact same. I remember this. This little guy's voice. Mm. He did the same thing on Ten Hag's first day. Ten Hag was outside of Carrington, heading into like his first press conference or leaving his first press conference, and this guy is outside stuffing a microphone in his face. Mm. And when Ten Hag didn't want to give that interview or didn't want to answer any of the stupid questions he was asking, the reporter then does this tactic of like questioning what the fans would think to the manager. So he said to Amorim today, he's like, what do you think the English fans will think about you refusing to answer in English right now? Or he says to Ten Hag, what are the fans going to think about you walking away from me right now? How is this a good first impression on the fans, Eric?
It's such British, like, tabloid, like, attitude. It's such a thing in the UK where you try and get stupid answers out of people, and you write stupid headlines about them to attract. That's just how it works in the UK with the tabloids, is that they're constantly looking for a headline to get somebody in trouble and publicity, and it's more money for the tabloids. It's just so ridiculous.
It's just arrogance.
Yeah.
It's just arrogance. That's my point. Anywho. Just wanted to make that point because it was so stupid, and it raises a kind of red flag for me in regards to Amorim and his relationship with the English media, how that's going to be. And I'm just really worried for when he inevitably loses his first, you know, maybe three of his first six games with United. Maybe it's a rocky start. Maybe the players don't react well to his tactics. Honestly, I'm kind of expecting that at this point, just because of how rotten the squad is. All right, even under Ruud right now, we're not getting that manager balance. I think these players just don't work together. But what happens then? Where does the blame get shifted to? How quick will the opinion about Amorim go from admiration to this young managerial prospect to disdain of, oh my God, he's inexperienced, he's so young, Johnny Evans is older than the guy, like he's just not ready for this. I'm waiting for that, and I'm just, oh my God, it's going to be so frustrating when I start seeing that turn, because I saw it happen. I saw it happen under Eric Ten Hag. Luke. I saw us lose to Brentford, and then, or sorry, to Brighton, and then to Brentford, and they're fucking vile. Go on.
Part of it has to do with also Manchester United being a big club and the expectations that come with that.
Of course.
It's it would be the same thing for any other club, any other big six club or even top 10 club in the Premier League.
It's almost like people refuse to accept the fucking reality with United. And it's that we need to be patient with them.
Yeah, but
they're not
said,
fucking United anymore. Like, they're not the juggernaut that they once were. We have to be a little bit patient, like Arsenal were with Arteta.
Absolutely.
You know?
I don't disagree with you on that front. But as you said last week, the Premier League and football in general is a results-based business. When shit starts going bad, obviously the press is going to put as much pressure on you as possible because, one, they make good money from it, and that's what attracts the viewers and everyone reading the damn articles.
Mm-hmm.
And, two, you're not doing your job properly or at first sight for the people that don't know the entire depth of the project. It's not going well.
Yeah. Look, maybe some criticism will be warranted then. Who fucking knows? Right, but like,
no, I'm not saying it's warranted. I'm just saying it's expected, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, like, would I think this time next week, Emery will have done his first press conference, so we can really get into like the preview. It'll also be international break, so we won't have much more to talk about. But oh, I digress. Speaking of Emery, I realized this the other day. First, used to be Benfica player, lifelong Benfica fan. Yep. Now I like him a lot more. second. I just realized, back in the day, I saw Ruben Amorim play live in person.
No fucking way.
Yeah, for Portugal. I remember it was June 2014, right before the World Cup. I was at Gillette Stadium, I think it's in Boston, and we were playing against Mexico. It was a 1-0 Bruno Alves winner. Mm. And in the 80th minute, Ruben Amorim came on.
Wow. Basically met the guy.
I basically met the guy, right? Jesus, I could basically smell him. I was like 10 years old at the time. Who would have fucking known?
Wow.
Who would have fucking known? But yeah, that's my little tidbit to end off this podcast, guys. We can end it off now. This has been an interesting episode.
It's been weird for sure. It's funny for sure.
Yeah. Anyways, guys, I hope you enjoyed the episode. We wish you the best watching the Champions League this week, because not much else going on. And this time next week, we'll be here talking about all of it. Also grieving the fact it will be an international break. Fuck this sport.
Third one in 3 months.
Anyways, guys, thank you again for listening to episode 68 of the 6 Yard Box podcast. And we'll see you again in a week for 69. Thank you again, everybody, for listening. And Blake, take us away.
We out.
See ya.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.